About 25 minutes before 9 o'clock, he is in Las Vegas currently. Our Representative Mike Sherrod joining us here on News Talk Radio 1490 WOSH. I just want to get him on the air for a few minutes to talk about the referendum bill. But I got to ask, what are you doing down in Vegas?
Fortunately, I have a conference right now. So we have a three-day conference about this time every year, and we get to spend a little free time in between the conference. So it's last couple of years, it's been 70 degrees out here. Last night I was in shorts, and it's about 30 degrees outside right now.
You deserve it for going out to Vegas. It's going to be nasty
here. I'm coming home to 20 inches, though.
Oh, it's not going to be 20 inches. It'll be about 6 inches, maybe 7 here in Oshkosh and Appleton, the latest projection. And on the high side, no more than 10, you know, just an average snowstorm coming our way.
It's like a dusting.
Yeah, hardly. Mike Sherrod, a lawmaker from the Algoma area, is joining us here this morning. And I know we talked a few weeks ago. We set this down. I didn't realize you were going to be in Vegas, but we wanted you to talk a little about the referendum bill because I think this makes a lot of sense. Tell us where we are right now in regards to how we handle school referendums and what you'd like to see done.
Well, right now, current law basically says that the school can go to a referendum to go to the voters to ask for more money to exceed the levy limits pretty much any time they want. They go in special elections, they go in primaries, they go in general elections. The special elections a lot of times are in off times of the election cycle, February. There was one specific referendum that was actually 2 days after Christmas for $4.5 million that actually ended up passing because nobody even realized there was an election. So that's current law. Our referendum bill basically says that if a school district is going to go to referendum, they have to do it in the regularly scheduled general elections. So that gives them three opportunities in a two-year period. In other words, they could go to referendum this spring general in April. If it would fail at that point, they could go again to referendum in the November general of 2016 this year. If it failed again, they could actually go to referendum in the spring general of 17 in April. But then there is not a fall general election in the odd year. So it basically gives them three opportunities every 2 years. Now, Senator Strobel was the author on the Senate side. He added a couple provisions that said, if you go to referendum, if a school goes to referendum and it fails, you have to wait 2 years before you can go back to the voters. We had to, I convinced Senator Strobel to amend that down because I couldn't even get my bill out of committee on the assembly side with 63 majority members. All we needed is really 51 votes. But out of the committee, I had three or four people that Republicans that said that they, you know, would not be able to support that. Okay. And after thinking about it, it'd be problematic. There are some school districts that, you know, whether we like to believe it or not, in the rural areas, they have to go to referendum for operating. For their operating budget, just because they get such a small percentage of their total overall budget from school state from the state through school aid, state aid. So
let me just interject here. What we have going on in Oshkosh, the school board has decided that they will ask taxpayers for $4 million more per year for the next 7 years, and they plan to do that in April. Okay, this would be an election that would be not the primary election, not the general election. This, in essence, would be a city election, as I understand it. City, county.
You know what, Bob? I have to plead ignorance.
Yeah.
And
it's not going to have the turnout that it would for the primary, or it would have then for the general election. $28 million is a lot of money. Even though it comes in a small $4 million per year increment, it's still a lot of money. You feel and I feel the same, that I think the more people who have a chance to vote, now we're all going to pay it, okay? And I know it's your responsibility to get to the polls when there's elections, But I can easily know that, let's say, the turnout is 10% or even 11%. So in Oshkosh, let's say that's just a few thousand people. If I go and have the teachers' union back the referendum, along with some parents at the PTO level and some grandparents who are grandparents of teachers or parents of teachers, I can easily bring out a few thousand people. They're going to vote yes for this.
Right.
On the other side, there's no one who's organizing an opposition to any type of referendum most of the time. They won't spend money on radio spots. They won't put an ad in the newspaper more than likely. So it's easy to sway the voters your way. And the next thing you know, as Mr. Homeowner or Mrs. Homeowner, you're looking at your property tax bill and say, oh, my God, my property taxes went up. Well, in the case of a $100,000 valued home, $80 for the year. What happened there? Or if you own a $200,000 house, it went up $160 for the year. And you're saying to yourself, what caused that? Oh, yeah, the school went to a referendum earlier this year. I forgot all about that. I can't pay that. I'm having trouble making ends meet now. I'm a retiree living in my home.
Yeah. So I can't tell you the number of times, Bob, in knocking on doors. I did 12,000. I knocked on 12,000 doors when I ran 3 years ago and in for the legislature as a freshman and, you know, just starting out. And I heard it over and over again. And Elsie was one 87-year-old lady I ran into, and she literally had tears in her eyes and said, can you do something to reduce my property taxes? And I heard that dozens and dozens of times. And when our tax bill came out a year and a half ago, I had friends and constituents call and say, hey, I thought the Republicans and I thought, you know, Governor Walker was cutting our property taxes. And I, you know, would have them go through their tax bill. And sure enough, the school districts were the ones that, you know, increased people's tax bill. But you hit it right on the head by the fact that in the last referendum 2 years ago, 12% of the voters voted to increase taxes for 100% of the homeowners in Oshkosh. And the frustrating thing for me in all of this is, you know, being a member of Joint Finance, I'm a numbers guy, and I've gone over the Oshkosh Area School District's budget. And, you know, the average person can't ask any questions and can't get any information out of them. It's hard for me as a legislator to get full disclosure from them. And I went through their budget, you know, with a fine-tooth comb. And let me tell you, there is so many areas in that budget, you know, in my opinion, Stan Mack, you know, is really, I think, being dishonest with taxpayers. This last time I was at a chamber meeting and Stan said, well, we sent out a memo that a questionnaire asking taxpayers, you know, if they would support a referendum. And it came back in a positive, it came back positively, he said. Well, I asked him how many were actually sent out, who was it sent to? He didn't have any of that information. I mean, did they send out 50 of them to, you know, teachers? I have no idea. And when I cornered him that day and I said, well, Stan, what are you going to use the money for? He couldn't tell me what he was going to use the money for. And that is my frustration, you know, going through the numbers, going through their books when, you know, I had to fight tooth and nail to get them and seeing the amount of money that is wasted in some areas. And they're coming to taxpayers again, back to the trough. I say, you know, I'm not anti K-12. My colleagues are not anti K-12. You know, we increased funding the K-12 education in the last two budgets. 2 years ago, it was 4.7%. This last budget, 15-16, it was actually 5% we increased.
Wait there. Stan Mack tells me you're not keeping up with inflation. That's why he has to go back to the taxpayers. The increase in education funding does not even keep up with inflation. Now, I know inflation because I have an economy degree. Inflation the last few years has been less than 1%. You're telling me that you gave 5% more to the schools 1 year and 4% the other year? Well, that's well above inflation.
Right. But that doesn't fit their narrative, unfortunately. And they don't want to talk about the fact that, you know, in a lot of school districts and even in Oshkosh to a very large degree. And I'm fine, you know, with what they've negotiated pre-Act 10. But post-act 10, we gave them the tools. The legislature gave the school districts the tools to save money. And as maybe your listeners are, or maybe they're not aware of this, but when you were a school teacher in the Oshkosh Area School District and you retired, I believe at age 55, you could retire. They would pay your full health insurance costs for you and your family, or you and your spouse, I should say, for 10 years. That costs the Oshkosh Area School District $4.5 million every year, because they still have people that, even after, you know, post-Act 10, that they've, you know, kept on.
Made this promise to.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, but and I tell you what, and I know when I hear it from my friends who are teachers, and I respect what you do. I know it's a tough job, but I think you get paid very well. I think the benefits are out of sight. I mean, I think
for 180.
Yeah, you know, I know you're doing study halls, and I know you're coaching, and I know all that. But hey, this is the line of work you got into. No one told me, Bob, get into radio, you're going to be a millionaire. No, it's not happening. Can I make a decent living? Yes, I make a decent living. But I do not have the benefits that any of these cats have that are in the public schools, the city, or the county. And I know Act 10 addressed this, but it continues to be a have and have not situation. Nothing better than getting a state job, Mike, or for that matter, a county or city job, or even being a school teacher. You get fantastic, fantastic benefits. And yeah, your salary may be a little lower than some. But then again, I look at these numbers and I'm saying an average teacher now is making well into the $50,000 to $60,000 range. They have benefits. I have to pay to my IRA in excess of $500 per month. I take care of that myself. There is no pension here at the radio station. There's no matching funds.
Right.
That's a big chunk out of my budget every month, because I have to retire one day and I know I'm going to be on my own to do it.
Right.
And yeah, we got this. Okay, so your bill's in the hopper. You got support on the Republican side. How quickly does it come through? Because I know Stan Mack has testified against your bill, and they're trying right now, members of the school lobby group, to kill this thing.
Well, and that's an interesting statement that you made, because when I was at, I go to every CISA 6 meeting every month on Fridays, and I go because, you know, we're always accused of hating education. And I think I've missed in the last 3 years, I've missed three meetings. One, I was sick, one, I was out of town, and one, something else happened. And I brought it up, and I about got my head torn off, because it's all school administrators and school board members at this meeting. But I feel that I want to give them, you know, full disclosure and let them know what we're working on in the legislature. And I want to hear their ideas. And it's not a very popular bill, as you can imagine. The problem I have right now is that they've done a very good job lobbying, scaring people, calling legislators. They did a signature, what do you call that? I'm not catching the word. A petition, a signature petition
sure.
In some areas. It scared some legislators, and I've had some, you know, we have 63 members in the majority. We only need 51 votes to pass the bill. We're going to exec it out of committee, which means that, you know, we're going to have enough votes out of all the education committee members to get it out of the committee and to get it onto the floor. So my job is to whip votes, And so I went around to all my members and we talked about it in caucus, and I have members that absolutely love it. We did pull out the waiting period that was 2 years down to 1 year. We've now eliminated that, because I had members on my side that said, "Well, I can't support this if it has a waiting period." So I want to get the bill passed. It's a great bill. It's going to, you know, in the long run, it will help school districts, because you're going to have the majority of the taxpayers involved in the decision. And in some of the rural areas, you know, the school district is the central focus point of these, you know, little towns.
Yeah, it's the community. Yeah, it is the community.
And the taxpayers aren't going to let it, you know, die and go bankrupt. So, you know, all these fears that everyone has that the school board and school administrators calling their legislators, I need your listeners to call the speaker's office and the majority leader's office and let them know this is a bill that they want. It's going to save taxpayer money, you know, in the long run, because school districts aren't going to be able to pull the wool over people's eyes anymore and do these special elections 2 days after Christmas. You know, they're going to have to do it in the general elections when the majority of taxpayers are paying attention. And I put this question on my spring survey when we sent it out to 23,000 people. And I live in a 60% Republican district, Bob, as you know. And this question came back at an 89% positive response rate. It was unbelievable. I've never had a question that was that high. And I simply asked, do you support the idea of school referendums being held in the regularly scheduled general election so that the majority of taxpayers can be involved in the process? That was the question. And it came back at 89%. So there are even Democrats that believe, yeah, they're tired. They're worn down from all these referendums that come in the middle of the night, you know, in February or March or, you know, there's still people, retirees that are in Florida in February and March.
Yeah. We got to wrap things up here in a moment. Mike Sherrod along with us, state lawmaker. I need to get your reaction to Reid Ripple and his decision not to seek reelection. Surprised at all? I know a lot of people are taken aback by this.
Yeah, we actually, there are about eight legislators out here for this conference, and we actually were talking about it a few days ago before it was even announced that he wasn't running. And the rumor in Washington was that he was going to run for another 2 years. My co-chair of Joint Finance, John Nygren from the Marinette area, you know, that's the 8th district, 8th congressional district is his district. And he was actually, you know, had thought about the idea of running if Reid would ever retire. So this was a shock to everybody, and I believe that John Nygren, you know, is probably going to be a candidate. I haven't, you know, gotten an answer yes or no directly from him, but I believe he probably will be. I know Frank Lissay, who ran for U.S. Senate when Ron Johnson was running and bowed out in the primary, I think he might be a likely candidate. And then Roger Roth from the Appleton area ran for that seat, you know, one point before Reid had won it. And so you're going to have some good candidates in there, and hopefully we'll have some great representation again. I obviously will support Representative John Nygren from Marinette because, you know, John has just done a wonderful job with the HOPE agenda, and being co-chair of Joint Finance, he gets it. He's a small business owner. He's the perfect person we need in Washington to try to straighten the garbage out there.
We'll see how your candidate Marco Rubio does tonight, okay?
Yeah, I'm excited for that too. I'm looking at everybody, Bob, and it's mind-boggling. And I really believe that that's how we are going to end up winning the presidency back. I like the fact that he's focused, and I'd feel comfortable having him in as our next president.
Mike, I got to run on that. I appreciate the time. Enjoy Las Vegas. I know you get back tonight, and make sure you get the snow shovel ready to go tomorrow, and along with the snow blower, and your wife or your daughter can get out there early in the morning and start shoveling their way out, right?
I had the snowblower all ready for her, and the plow is facing the driveway, so all she has to do is get in the
lower
in
the plow
and
go.
The plow.
Okay, she can come by my house as well.
To talk to you.
Take care, buddy.
Appreciate the opportunity.